Welcome back to a special Royal Rumble edition of the Fried Egg Podcast. I guess, you know, you could send this to somebody and it wouldn't be just for you, but it is just for you. We had the consulting architect at Lancaster Country Club, Jim Nagel from Force and Nagel Golf Design, on to talk about Lancaster in all its glory, the venue of the Royal Rumble on Monday. So this should get you primed and ready to go for the tournament. I guess you could call it a tournament, the friendly competition with some nice prizes. And thank you guys all for coming. It's going to be a great day. Knock on wood, the weather looks great. Looks like just a great fall day in Lancaster County. And I hope everybody, I'm excited to meet everybody on Monday. So without further ado, here is Jim Nagel.
I miss a green, for example. I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
Fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
First order of business. I'm a Chicagoan. I say I have long A's. I've been told numerous times that I can't quite seem to get it through my head. And I just want everybody else to know so they can hear it right at least once. What's the proper way to say Lancaster? Is that it, Lancaster?
You're getting close. It's not Lancaster.
Yeah, that's something that I always say. Lancaster. What is it?
Lancaster.
Lancaster. Like Lank.
Yes, I had to coach the he's been here 3 years now, but the superintendent, Josh Saunders, director of grounds. He's a Virginia guy. He lived in Pittsburgh for a while. When he was interviewing for the job, I kept saying, Josh, we worked with him at the Longview Club. I said, Josh, it's Lancaster. Lancaster. And so I'd get phone call from him and he'd just say Lancaster, Lancaster. He kept trying to say it properly. And
I've been practicing for like literally a month. People that have run into me, I have legitimately been practicing. So should I'm thinking West Lancs, Lancaster. That's how I should say it.
That's you had perfect.
All right. Perfect. When you said it, it just popped into my head how I need to think of it. West Lancs, Lancaster. There we go.
That's perfect.
All right, I've got new confidence. I've been like afraid to say it for weeks now. All right, so Lancaster, tell me about when was the first time you saw Lancaster?
Actually, the first time I saw Lancaster was probably I got to go back mid-'80s. And it was not on the golf course. It was standing on the starting blocks of the Lancaster Swim Club, their summer swim program, warming up for a swim meet of Lititz Springs versus Lancaster Country Club. And looking over, standing on those starting blocks and looking over the fence out to the golf course, which that pool no longer
exists. Oh, yeah, that you've got a putting green there now, right?
We built a about a 14,500 square foot putting green on top of where the old pool was situated. So that was my first exposure to Lancaster Country Club, was inside the fence to some degree. And looking out over that fence to the golf course. And then obviously when I joined Force Design some years later, I grew up in Lancaster County. So 20 minutes from the club, growing up on and playing most of the public courses in the area. But my first exposure then was in the late 90s to tour the golf course and to really see what everybody was talking about. And then early 2000s, we had a chance. Todd Beitelschbacher, the immediate past superintendent, had left Kirtland and came to Lancaster. And we had worked with him at Kirtland. And his move to Lancaster was sort of an opening of the door for us. And Ron and I had an opportunity to come and start consulting with the club in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about Lancaster. Obviously, you've got a long history there. What what can people expect from Lancaster?
You know, it's funny. We've been working here, like I said, probably 16 or 17 years. And even today, being on this golf course, I never stop learning. You never stop walking a particular hole, and maybe you're on one side of the fairway that you hadn't walked previously, or maybe you're looking at a green in the distance from an angle that you don't play, and you just pick up on something. There are so many nuances to this golf course that I think next week when everybody comes here and plays and has an opportunity to play one or two rounds, the second round is going to be different than the first round. And that's the beauty of this place. Much like many classic golf courses, you have an opportunity to really learn something about the course more times you're on this property. And this property really embodies the best of Flynn. You know, I asked Tom Doak one time, why is this in your Gourmet Choices, his first book? And he just felt like this course embodies so much of what William Flynn did in his designs, but it's all packaged in one course. You know, you literally could start playing the first five holes and hit driver, but yet play short irons into each one of those greens. And some might scoff at that because they're such short holes through number five, but yet each one of those short par fours embodies something different and different strategies. And then you get long par fours and good par fives. And we're going to make some adjustments to the 13th hole, which everybody will see next week. But I truly believe that this course just embodies so many of the great design principles of a great classic golf course. And you're going to see a broadly undulating property, nothing that's sort of heaving and rolling. I mean, rolling greens, very different than this property. A big property, river running through it, great greens, very restrained, but important and challenging bunkering, and just incredible green sights, just excellent green sights.
Yeah, Flynn was unbelievable at finding those green sites. Tell us more about William Flynn and what do you know? Obviously, he's got a great design portfolio in the Northeast through the even into some of the Midwest. He's got a little bit here, but you know, really a lot of his work is in Pennsylvania and the Northeast. Tell us about the characteristics of Flynn and where Lancaster really shines.
I think it embodies so much of his design principles. Obviously, those who study Flynn recognize his routing abilities. Just maybe one of the best routers of golf courses, but also that sort of restrained design philosophy or bunkering. Where he wasn't bunkering things all over the place. You know, it tasteful restraint, I guess, is what we use. And so the routing that he has here at Lancaster with a sort of tasteful restraint of bunkering, and then the combination of his greens, I truly think, like you said, it embodies the great design philosophies of those classic golf courses. You know, Force Design has the good fortune. You mentioned how influential and how many designs he has throughout the Northeast. But obviously everybody talks about the Philly Flynns. And we at Force Design have had the good fortune of working at many of those. In fact, I want to say we have seven on the table right now of different levels of design that we're working on. And each one of them embodies certain strengths of Flynn, whether it's the green designs, whether it's the routing, whether it's the bunkering, all of those different things. What I love about Lancaster is you have a lot of those great sort of those elevated tee shots to a lower lying landing area to an elevated green. And so you might feel some confidence off the tee because you're hitting elevated tee shots, but then when you get down to the landing area, you're hitting into an elevated green. And he positions a lot of those greens on these wonderful diagonals, so that it's very important to play the right approach into those greens, whether it's the right side of a fairway or left side of a fairway. Today, we're working on basically a lot of tree management. And so when you're starting to focus on tree management on a golf course, you're really starting to look at the angles of play. And when you're starting to look at the angles of play, you start looking at the orientations of those greens and the positions of those bunkers. And a Flynn golf course really embodies so many of those design philosophies where the angle of that green really starts the hole. It's not tee to green, it's green to tee. And understanding where you want to position those. And Lancaster has this great cachet of short par fours, amazing par threes. I mean, you could sit there and talk about any William Flynn golf course. And a lot of your discussion really should lean towards talking about the par threes. And the par threes here are really good. The short par fours, to think that you start with five relatively short opening par fours, some people might look at that and say, wow, that's just, it's too short. But yet you don't get bored playing those short par fours. And then you turn the corner and you start playing number six, a par three, and seven, a relatively short par four, five. And then you get on to number eight. And it's just a monster of a par three, one of the hardest holes on the golf course. And then you've got the uphill par nine, par four ninth that just never seems to end. So in terms of what you're looking for with Flynn, you've got these great green sites. You know, Ron and I talk often about Flynn greens. And one way that we categorize those is apparent simplicity and actual complexity. And if you look at a Flynn green, and oftentimes he had these three high points positioned at different areas around the dial, but the greens were not wildly undulating. When you look at them, you think, wow, they shouldn't be terrible. They shouldn't be overly challenging to putt. And then you putt them. And you think a ball is supposed to break one way, but it goes another. And so that is that sort of apparent simplicity and actual complexity. So when you start at those greens and you work your way back, that's why it's so important to be positioned on one side of the fairway or not another. So, you know, that's the beauty of a Flynn course, but also the routing. He really highlights the natural topographic features. Whether it's a stream crossing in front of a green or a green positioned on the other side of it. Manny's is a great example of that with three greens positioned on the other side of a stream. Or you get these just wonderfully gently rolling topography. The more time we've spent at Philadelphia Country Club, it's just a wonderful routing that he did there and utilized the topography beautifully. I mean, I think there's no doubt Shinnecock is probably his best example of a wonderfully designed golf course that fits all of those features with great par threes, challenging par fours, long par fours, short par fours, and good par fives. And, you know, I toured Shinnecock last year with a client at Concord Country Club, their superintendent, Greg D'Antonio. And I know he walked away from Shinnecock just absolutely blown away. And he could really start to see what we are trying to do on his golf course, which had some holes that were rerouted and changed, and we're trying to bring Flynn back into his golf course. And we're trying to impose or not impose, but we're trying to use those influences on his golf course. So Flynn just had so many great characteristics and really embodying the boldness of some of those early designs with short fours, great threes, and wonderful long par fours. And Lancaster has that. Because of the topography and the way he routed that golf course, there's some par fours out there that they'd be a good short par five anywhere else, but they're fours here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the thing for me that stands out the most too, is it also seems like Flynn always almost, or at least the places I've seen, a good handful of them, he always had a piece of property that was pretty brawny and muscular. Like, I haven't ever seen Flynn on flat ground, but, you know, Flynn on kind of terrain where you have those high points and the low points that you talked about, he always seemed to utilize those high points for the greens. And then what makes it so tough is approaching those greens, as you so well described, as simplistic but complex, you know. Yeah. If you're in the wrong spot, that's where you have to be so good, is that, like, those greens are really simple if you're in the right spot. But hitting it to that right spot is really challenging because you're usually doing it from a uneven lie and, you know, significantly below the green or sometimes above the green. Like you're rarely, it's never a driving range shot where it's like, okay, I have a flat lie to a flat target and I need to keep this, you know, a couple yards short of the pin. And it like that, that's just not what you get a lot of times.
And well, and the, you know, when you talk about flat golf, I mean, Flynn had the ability to take Indian Creek, which was created from nothing, you know, and when he built, was a part of building this 366 acre island. He still creates a golf course that doesn't necessarily feel flat, but the elevation changes across that entire property. When you look at them, it's still relatively flat, but yet he was able to do such wonderful things out there, whether it's using mounds. He used mounds at Indian Creek in his green surrounds and in the fairway, or elevating a hole like the short par four 13th, which plays around sort of a dogleg right with water to the inside. He elevates that green enough to give it this feel of being elevated. You know, Flynn truly was, to me and Flynn, they were geniuses in what they did. And to take a place like Indian Creek, where they literally had a blank slate, and to do what he did there is just, it's sheer genius.
Mm-hmm. Back to Lancaster. What are two holes that people should watch out for? What are two holes that if you're going to narrow it down to two that they should look out for and a few of the key features of those holes?
I have to narrow it to two?
I mean, if you want to do three, but we get more than three, then we're doing a hole by hole here.
Gosh, that's easy enough to do a hole by hole there. I'll start with the par threes. Number eight's a beast. And number eight, we're actually talking about lengthening. We have some room behind it, but you know, playing it about in the 190 range, over a chasm to an elevated green that is severely sloped. And so first and foremost, you have to worry about the carry. But it's not just the carry, then it's getting it to the green. And then if you're going to get it to the green, you have to make sure you kind of get it over the false front. And then let's see where that green is, where the hole is cut. I'm going to be intrigued to see where you're going to put some of these hole locations next week. This could be a blast. And so the eighth hole is a par three, plays as one of the harder holes on the golf course. During the 15 Women's Open, number eight played, I believe it was top five, maybe even top four, hardest holes on the golf course as a par three. And so it's not just in its length. I mean, under 200 yards by a par three is not necessarily long these days, but the distance that you're carrying over the chasm, plus maybe what the wind's doing, because you're not going to feel the wind at the tee, but that wind might be blowing up at the green. Okay. And then Flynn has that set on a slight diagonal from left to right. And obviously, much like Flynn, he has a bunker on one side of a par three and a bunker sitting low on the right side. So it's easy enough. If you're not long enough, if you just kind of, you know, push that a little bit, you might be short and you're running back, or you're in the bunker, and then the recovery out of the bunker is nothing easy. So for the par threes, that's a great one. And then you got the little drop shot. See, it's going to be impossible to narrow this down. Then you got the drop shot par three 12th, the shortest hole on the course, which is fronted by a stream. If you're too short,
it's got the cool barn. I feel like every Pennsylvania course I've ever been to has a cool barn on it, and
it does. And there was actually an old house there which had fallen in disrepair, so they had to take the house down. But even today during my tour, I said to Josh, their director of grounds, I said, you know, Josh, I said, we built these tees here, we moved the car path. I said, I could barely even remember the house being here. Because 12 is really the sort of the feature of that portion of the course. And so if you come into that little drop shot par three and you got too much spin on the ball, you're coming right back into the creek. But that's that. I put eight over 12. The strategic, the little short par threes, 3, 4, and 5 are so good. And I think Tom put number four as sort of the top of the list in his original confidential guide. But there's so much I like about number five. Mm-hmm. Number five is a dogleg left. where you're hitting to a slightly elevated fairway and you need to position the ball in the landing area.
It's a little blind, if I remember correctly, it is, right? It's like kind of semi-blind.
Yeah, and we're working on that. That's one of the changes.
I like the blind.
And it's still going to be blind, but we're widening fairway to the left because there's a deep fall off, essentially a quarry wall along the left. But because of the trees, you don't play anywhere close to that. But if people are out there next Monday and they just go walk into the left rough on number five, you'll see how the green really opens up to that left side. So we want to restore that. But the thing about that hole, and Josh asked me today, he says, Jim, if we're going to widen fairway on the left, do we need to sneak it in on the right? I said, Josh, I really don't want to do that because there's a little level plateau that's a three wood, rescue club carry off the tees up on the left. And if you play to that, it's a longer shot coming in. But the beauty of the Flynn design is all of a sudden the green is set up on that slight diagonal. So if I could influence you in any way, I'd say of the rounds you're going to play next week, I think one of those hole locations needs to be on the right side of five green because there's Stauffer Run that cuts through there. So if you have a longer shot coming in and the pin's on the right, boy, Stauffer Run really comes into play. But if you can play left, which is what we're wanting to restore, so now off the tee, you're challenging that fall off, that sort of quarry wall, quarry-like feature on the left, the green opens up to you and it's flatter on that left-hand side. And now all of a sudden, Stauffer Run is further to your right. It's just it's a great strategic little golf hole. I'd have to go back and look at the statistics, but Josh told me today, he said five played as one of the hardest holes during the Women's Open. And yet it's one of the shortest par fours on the property. And that to me is just magical. The other holes that really come to mind, I mean, when you turn onto the backside of the golf course, 10, long par four because of the uphill shot, 11, it's playing shorter because of technology, but the green is so good. And what people will see next week is we actually reinstated the fairway approach, which joins to the back of 15 green. Because if you're going to play that hole, you got to play it to the front left, front right, to let that hole hit this sort of little knoll that comes in and it'll feed your ball to the back of the green. And that's such a beautiful shot where you can't necessarily play to the pin. You got to play to an uphill approach and get it onto the green and let it nurse its way back. And so that's such a good hole. And to be honest with you, the other one that really jumps out is I truly believe that 18, the finishing hole, is one of the best 18th holes for club play, for member play anywhere, because it opens up to the clubhouse. The view is beautiful. You've got this bunker cutting in short of the green on the left-hand side, encroaching into the fairway. And then you've got this steeply sloped green that, again, position is critical to play into that green. So it's all about the brute length of the hole, but there's just so many little things going on there. I think it's a great finishing hole.
Yeah, the first five holes are great and they kind of take you out onto the other side of the property. Yeah. But then the back nine really gets into the core meat of the property in front of the clubhouse, where there's some great kind of holes that camber along these side slopes and kind of wind around hills. It's really a cool journey. I think like the routing in general is really neat, how it takes you away and then brings you back. You see everything when you're walking down one, but then it kind of moves you away to the other side of the property, which is really neat. And then it brings you back for another look of the back nine.
Well, and the interesting thing about some of the routing is that there were changes that were made post Flynn. Now you got to imagine, Flynn started working there in 1919 and essentially consulted there until his death in 45. A couple of changes, 16 and 2. So 16, if anybody could imagine, the first hole at Philly, which was there also their 16th in the original design. Some would say it might be patterned a little bit after the 12th, I believe, at Pine Valley, or the 10th at Marion. Short dogleg left with a sort of I don't want to call it a great hazard, but essentially there's this big multi-bunkered hazard on the inside of the dogleg. That green used to be off and to the right, but yet the club decided, I believe it was in the 50s, to move it left. The second hole, Josh and I were just looking at some photos today, and up until the late 40s, after Flynn consulted there, the second hole played relatively straight, but then it was moved to the left. And by moving it left, all of a sudden, it's out on this peninsula where it falls off behind, it falls off to the left, and there's this great quarry wall, this high wall along the Conestoga River, which we're going to work to reveal with some tree management through there. And so those changes were actually made internally by the club through the years, and yet they were great changes. I mean, how many golf courses have been ruined by committees through the years when they made changes like that? Now, the downside would be the 13th hole, which is a par five, and had been changed to where it's almost like driver layup. You're forced to a layup.
I don't really know what you're supposed to do.
Shot in. What's that?
I don't really know what you're supposed to do on that hole.
Well, we've got plans to change that. I know Will was intrigued. Will was bothered by a social media post where my arm unknowingly,
it seems like it was cleverly
hole.
Placed there.
So we've got some changes proposed to the 13th hole that will open that up and sort of you can lay up if you want to lay up to the proper distance that you feel comfortable playing, but we also want to allow golfers that chance to go for it in two. So hopefully, you know, maybe in years to come, if you were to ask me that question a couple of years down the road, maybe 13 starts to come to mind.
Yeah. Well, we're really excited. You've got the 2024 U.S. Women's Open coming up at Lancaster. And obviously, I think you guys are doing some work. Tree management, it sounds like. Anything else that, you know, outside of 13 that kind of you could share with us that might be in the cards of some changes before 2024?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything's a secret anymore. You know, the club voted in to starting in November, we'll begin rebuilding all the bunkers. The nice thing is we rebuilt these bunkers in 05 and 06. And through the tenure of two superintendents, Todd Beitelsbacher and now Josh, and obviously the Green Committee, things have remained pretty well intact. So it's not like we have to go through and reshape and rebuild and do this, do that. It's more of a changing over. But there's a couple holes we're going to be making some changes. Maybe an additional bunker here or there. Also some fairway expansions, some new tees, not just lengthening the course, but also accommodating some of the shorter hitting players at the club. So, you know, what you've got going on is some tree management on a large scale. You've got some bunker repositioning on certain holes and adding some bunkers that, you know, still stay in tune with sort of William Flynn's design philosophies and match what's going on here at Lancaster. You've got some new tees going in, lengthening and shortening the course. And, you know, overall aesthetics with vistas. You know, we have a course that called them, you know, vista enhancements. And so we're trying to reveal more of the topography. And, you know, if you're standing up at the new golf plaza and that new 14,000 plus square foot practice putting green, you'll be able to look out over the golf course and just have these expansive views because it is a wonderful piece of property. So there's a lot of things going on there. And, you know, a couple years ago or a year and a half ago, we did the practice putting green. Then we worked on the driving range and worked on practice facilities, but now we're turning our focus onto the golf course and the clock is officially ticking for the 2024 Women's Open. The beautiful thing about Lancaster is everything's been driven by membership. It's always been done for the members and for Lancaster Country Club. And the nice thing about it is that they have these Women's Opens and who knows what they will host in the future, but the course is so good that all of these changes that are made for the membership seem to work hand in hand then with hosting championships. And it's nothing that we have to go out of our way to do things for these particular events. It's just such a good golf course to begin with that it's perfect for hosting the type of events that they host.
Yeah. It's such a cool place. And I mean, great club in general. It seems like I was there on a hot summer day. It seems like the pool scene's good too. It just, you know, that's where you first got introduced to it. But you'll be at the event. You'll be playing everybody could come say hi to you, talk to you more detail about anything, really, anything, anything.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ron and I will both be there and looking forward to it. I know it's been, Ron was last out there for the Women's Open, and so it'd be great to have him out there and talk to everybody about Lancaster. I mean, it's such an easy place to talk about because, I mean, we love it so much. And, you know, having been someone who grew up in the area and understanding the importance and where Lancaster sort of sits in Flynn's, you know, library of work, it's a special place. And I'm very happy to see that you guys are coming there, because I think the more people that know about this place, the more they're going to appreciate it. And I know the members at Lancaster love, you know, hearing about their golf course and having people talk about it. And in some ways, you know, it's much like Davenport. It doesn't have some of the topographic features that Davenport has, but it's just far enough away from a metropolitan area that maybe it doesn't get all the notoriety that it should, but it's such a great place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, I think everybody's going to be, wowed by it. And, thank you so much, for the time. And I think this will help, everybody tackle and devise a game plan to maybe succeed on, Monday.
They're going to have a blast. I look forward to lunch and hearing people talk about that first round.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jim. And we'll see you, Monday.
Sounds good.